The slow rollout of New York's legal retail marijuana marketplace has had detrimental effects on the cannabis industry from seed to sale, with nearly all marijuana farmers reporting that they're operating at a loss and need financial relief from the state, which encouraged farmers to start growing as early as 2022 and is not delivered on a marketplace for those products to be sold. For more on the plight of the marijuana growers in New York, we're joined by Joseph Calderon, the chief operating officer of a cannabis growing operation in the Southern Tier and co-founder and acting president of the Cannabis Farmers Alliance. Welcome to the show, Joseph.
Thanks for having me, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Well, let's rewind back to the start of the legal marijuana growing for retail sales back in 2022. What was the expectation for hemp farmers who got conditional licenses at the time to grow marijuana for the then nascent retail market?
They were distressed farmers before they were distressed hemp farmers. It was incredible that the state gave the hemp farmers this first opportunity to be the suppliers for this industry. We were able to witness what would be called the green rush in certain states, whether it was Colorado or Washington. So obviously the expectations were that our farmers in New York State who were distressed were going to be able to pull themselves out of the debt of which they leveraged a lot of their assets for in the hemp industry to provide great quality cannabis in New York State in a maturing legal industry.
We talked with Assembly Agriculture Committee Chair Donna Lupardo in the summer of 2023, and she estimated that about 300,000 pounds of marijuana had been grown in 2022 during that first growing season for the promised retail market. And at the time, this is the summer of 2023, more than 80% of it, about 250,000 pounds, were still unsold at that point. Fast forward to now, spring of 2024, do you have a sense of how much of that 2022 crop is unsold today? And is anything that remains still worth anything?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer, but we can say that of that 300,000 pounds, much of it is still, if it's not in barns and in storage areas in barns or in storage areas in different buildings, much of it is still on the shelves in extracted oils that have yet to be sold. So they're either in biomass or they're in extracted oils and they've been unsold. So we have farmers that have been waiting for over a year to get paid. And we're talking thousands of liters of equivalent biomass. We give under consignment all of our products to the dispensaries and to the processors. So we don't get paid. We have to wait to get paid, and we have to pay on top of that potency taxes, sometimes 50% of what the gross product would be. So you can just do the math there, or even just think about farmers waiting and waiting and waiting to get paid with their oils on shelves. And of course, these processors, their obligation is to sell their own oils before they get to ours.
Well, in light of the experience you just laid out, how did established and aspiring marijuana farmers then approach the 2023 growing season? And I guess, how are they approaching the 2024 growing season?
Based on our numbers, the 2023 season is either flat or negative in terms of how much our farmers are growing, just based on our numbers. Because they are so leveraged and frustrated and weary, and in some cases even suicidal, they are deciding to hold back on growing. So the effect of that could be a supply shock in the industry, just as some of these new dispensaries and microbusinesses should be opening within the next 6 to 12 months.
So what sort of financial relief, if any, has been made available to help marijuana farmers weather this uncertainty?
There's a broad base of support for a relief fund here in New York State for cannabis farmers. The Association of New York Cannabis Processors, the New York Medical Cannabis Industry Association, the New York Cannabis Retail Association, Cannabis Association of New York, the Local 338, the Teamsters, all in essence, the entire industry recognizes the need for a relief package for farmers. And additionally, the legislature has been a true champion for cannabis farmers. Senators Cooney's and Hinchey have been with us since day one, driving $128 million relief package in the Senate One House. And likewise, we could not ask for a bigger supporter than Assemblywoman Donna Lupardo, who shepherded in an $80 million relief package in the Assembly and fights for us every day.
Is this the first sort of discussion, though, about a relief act? I mean, 2023, I have to imagine, could have used some relief. Was there anything from the state at that point?
Yeah, it's interesting to say that because the governor said a couple weeks ago the industry was a disaster, and she was stating that she will not defend it for a second. And then she followed up by saying, we've got farmers losing money. We've got people who took out loans, and meanwhile, no money is flowing back to the state, which is true because the tax receipts are not being realized. We have all this, and the illicit market is flourishing. Well, as you know, the executive budget is driven by the executive. However, we have yet to see the same support from the executive that we have seen from the houses. The governor vetoed a bill that would have allowed farmers to sell to tribal nations and allowed the Office of Cannabis Management to end the cannabis growers showcases that were a small lifeline to farmers. This year, we haven't seen any meaningful engagement from her on our biggest need, which is its immediate relief.
So you mentioned the relief proposals from the Senate worth about $130 million and the Assembly worth about $80 million. What shape would these packages take? Would these be bridge loans for groups? Do they need to be just grants to make up losses? How do you want to see relief take shape?
As you know, the situation is very fluid with the budget process. So, you know, we had some initial asks in there, but our main focus now is direct cash relief, whatever form that takes. Those numbers are obviously could come down. But so how do we get direct cash relief to our farmers? Well, we have a couple of ideas. And our first idea is one is a direct deposit through the Department of Tax and Finance. So we'd be tiering the relief based on the amount of sales a farm has done. So the people who have been hurt the most will get the most relief. So we're saying basically, again, the numbers are very fluid, but anyone that, say, produced over $250,000 worth, because the burn rate, average burn rate for our farmers is $300,000. So that means that of our 108 respondents in our survey, 97% are underwater. Another way to get relief to farmers is a refundable tax credit on last year's taxes, but many of our farmers are in the red anyway. So, but we need direct cash relief. And everybody understands that in the industry, all of the associations I mentioned before, you know, the public, the media, you know, we've tried every front channel, every back channel, every media channel, but we don't know what the governor's waiting for in this budget. We know that there's other priorities, but we're witnessing the collapse of an industry, right, in real time. So without some kind of relief, we're not going to have a legal market next year.
Well, yeah, walk us through what that collapse could look like moving forward if there is no assistance in this year's budget or before the end of the legislative session. What are the dominoes that would fall?
The planting season is quickly approaching. Our farmers are tapped out. They're leveraged. They're frustrated. As I said before, some of them are so scared that they're suicidal, some of them. And I hear from them every day, Dave. The situation is dire. It's existential. 97% of the farmers are underwater. Many have exhausted their investment, and some may get investment once they transition from conditional licensure to full licensure. But that is happening at a very, very slow rate. Many of our conditional farmers have not even been licensed at this point, and they were promised to be licensed in February for full licensure. So, you know, we've exhausted every government front channel. As I said, we've protested at the Capitol. The cat's out of the bag. I don't know what the governor's waiting for. The New York black market is estimated $7.4 billion in 2023, and that's by the New Frontier Group. That's a cannabis industry think tank. So, and that's 50% more than what the state projected in year three, but none of it's legal. So, what the state grossed about $200 million at this point, and compare that with smaller states who entered later than New York, Missouri, and Maryland are well over $1 billion with much smaller populations. But the governor still refuses to back the farmers. So, you know, this is, it's going to cause a ripple effect throughout the entire supply chain is what's going to happen. When you have no supply side or a very damaged supply side, when you have retail outlets that are supposed to come on within the next 6 to 12 months, people are going to look at price point. Consumers are going to look at price point, and they're going to rush to these illicit stores that are going to stay open. Enforcement is great, but you need an actual functional legal market in order to replace the black market before you start enforcing.
How concerned are you, if at all, about the advent of these vertically integrated medical marijuana companies that are now getting into the retail space and have their own growing operations? Does that represent a threat to the marijuana farmers that have already been in the retail space, or do you think those two can coexist?
Of course, you know, competition in the marketplace, right? That's just economics 101. You have vertically integrated groups that can access the capital markets. You know, they can be in debt for years and still continue to operate because they can pull in money from Wall Street, right? So that's not just in, you know, that's an example of where we're at in with globalization, with the way, you know, economics works in our current state of capitalism. But not to go down that rabbit hole, but yes, we've always been concerned about the multi-state operators, or what we call New York State, the registered organizations. However, the way we look at it now is that they can only supply really 20% of what, let's just say, if that full $7.4 billion market was realized, they could really only supply probably 20% of that, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little bit less. The rest of it has to come from small to medium-sized operators.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for this conversation. We've been speaking with Joseph Calderon. He's the chief operating officer of a cannabis growing operation in the Southern Tier and co-founder and acting president of the Cannabis Farmers Alliance. Joseph, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Dave. I really appreciate it.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Resorts World New York. With over 1 million square feet of space to play, relax, and celebrate, Resorts World New York City hosts more than 5 million visitors a year. That makes Resorts World a significant social and economic partner for local businesses and residents alike. Through its operations and outreach programs, Resorts World has generated more than $4 billion for the state educational system and 1,400 jobs for the people of Queens. More information at rwnewyork.com.